it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And before we get into today's discussion, a little bit of housekeeping news. Starting next week, we are going to be pulling back our episodes to once a week for the off season. When the regular season rolls around again, we will be back to twice a week. But for the summer, we are going to be going to once a week. And we have some other announcements that are going to be in the works that'll be coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, Taylor, let's get to it. The Sabres are picking 11th overall in the 2024 NHL entry draft, with the San Jose Sharks picking up that first overall pick to draft Macklin Celebrini. Taylor, Sabres picking 11th right now, just outside of the top 10. A lot of the discussion right off the bat is, should they trade the pick? Should they keep the pick? What should they do? How should they approach it? And I think that really speaks to the larger question of how they approach this upcoming offseason. So I know there's a lot of components to it. Let's get right to it. What's your take on the Sabres drafting 11th overall and what they potentially should or should not do with the pick?
Yeah, so everyone knows I'm a huge prospect guy, which is why I already know who I want to pick. No trading it. Definitely prospects. I'm looking at a little guy, not little, he's actually pretty big. His name is Gunther Sanderson, spelled with a Q, and he played his junior days, especially this past season, for the Shirkston Sandcastles. Absolutely killed it. 45 goals, 100 assists, totally dominant, really strong on the forecheck and the backcheck, and I like the way he's going to transition to the NHL. One problem: he's not real. Brendan, do you think they should trade the pick?
Oh, I think it is a very layered question. I think what a lot of it comes down to is what they're planning to go after and who they would seemingly trade the pick for, because I think there's really two ways of looking at it. One is you use the pick itself as an asset, and you're trading that out along with another prospect or something like that, a part of a larger deal that it's 11th overall. Maybe it's a roster player and a prospect. So there's that side of it. The other side of it for me is you are going to look at one of, or multiple, I should say, of Savoy, Kulik, Rosanen, Noah Ostlund, any of the younger guys right now in the system, but mainly the first rounders that we're talking about here that we've been saying are, you know, some of the most valuable trade pieces, realistic trade pieces that the Sabres have at their disposal. You would then look at the 11th overall pick if you're looking at trading maybe two of those guys as a way to replenish the system a bit and get another guy in the mix, another forward in the mix that you can then look to develop, because you're going to be taking, you know, those two or whatever guys of, you know, Savoy, Kulik, Ostlund, and Rosen, and they will be going out the door for an NHL player. And by doing that, then you allow yourself to have a little bit of flexibility when it comes to letting one of these prospects cook, whoever you would take at 11th overall. Somebody who you're drafting at 11, I know people are going to say, you know, oh, well, look at Zach Benson last year. But I think we all need to acknowledge that it is extremely rare that somebody like Benson, who in very recent hindsight, we can tell is a top five talent in that draft, falling that low. It's very rare that that happens. Now, that's not to say that in any old year you can't get somebody really good at 11th overall, because you absolutely can, but it's pretty hit or miss. So looking back at the last handful of years, we're just going to roll off some names. There is a lot of very good names here, but there's also some forgettable ones as well. So starting last year in 2023, there was Tom Willander. Then you have Connor Geeky the year prior. Yaroslav Askarov for the Predators, who is, you know, a really promising up-and-coming goalie prospect there. Victor Soderstrom for the Coyotes in 2019. Oliver Wahlstrom in 2018 for the Islanders. His career certainly hasn't panned out how Islanders fans really would have hoped for it. But then you go the year back before that, you have Gabe Vilardi in 2017. Then the next year, a bit of a drop-off there in terms of an NHL-quality player. You have the Senators taking Logan Brown in 2016. Lawson Krause, he remember famously, of course, in that 2015 draft, ended up falling after he was very weirdly put in like the top five and going out on like the press tours with Eichel and McDavid. Very strange thing. But then the year before that, though, you have Kevin Fiala, who gets drafted by the Predators 11th overall. Then a drop off again, Samuel Morin. But then the year before that, who do you have but none other than Philip Forsberg going to the Caps with that that pick? Well, that ended up turning into Martin Erat famously also. And then again, yeah, you just go through here and it gets a little bit forgettable there for some of the other guys. You have Anze Kopitar, Jeff Carter, but, you know, then you're getting back into the early mid 2000s. So at least in recent history, though, I mean, there's certainly some impressive names there, but it's definitely not a sure thing. And I think the other side of it is that picking 11th overall is a pretty steep drop off from picking like sixth or seventh overall in terms of value there. And especially when you consider that this is a weaker draft class comparatively to some of the recent ones we've had, at least, you know, early looking at it is people are saying that it's weaker and from compared to recent years, that all plays into the value of really what the pick is. And so I know that was a long way of kind of explaining everything, and I didn't really answer your question, which was rather to trade the pick or not. And I think that's because my answer is you can't really know that yet. I don't think that you should definitively be one way or the other, because if an opportunity presents itself to you where somebody really wants 11th overall, and then you say like Roseanne, and hey, maybe it's something really big and you do like a couple of seconds or even a first next year, if you want to get really wild, then you can feel very comfortable doing that if you know that the main piece going out the door is that 11th overall pick. Then again, though, if you have something for like a really big fish and the piece going back is a Matt Savoy or a Yuri Kulik, then I, of course, would want them to hang on to 11th overall, because then that helps you replenish what you're going to be losing out of your system there. And a couple of guys that are, I think you could say, either fringe or ready to be in the NHL right now. Does that make sense? I know that was kind of a very long-winded way of answering your question, but yeah. What do you think of my perspective and your thoughts?
Yeah, it's weird how dogmatic people have become about this generally, and how quickly there's been like a trade thing. Like, you got to get rid of it right now. Like, it's a grenade with a pin pulled. And I don't really get that, because I think all of us want them to make at least one big trade this offseason, because they kind of need it. And if not one big one, if that doesn't present itself, then maybe a group of medium-sized ones. And the reason is we know the roster has to be upgraded, rougher, but the other reason is they just have a lot of assets they could be trading. They have a lot of guys that have been taken in the first two rounds. I mean, almost a dozen of them in recent years. And other guys who are theoretically expendable that, you know, should be available in the trade. And this pick is just another one of those assets. And it's a pretty valuable one. So I think you make the right trade. You can use the pick definitely in a trade. You could also use someone like, depending on what the trade is, everyone from Yuri Kulik all the way down to, I don't know, Poltepov. Yeah. Linus Weisbach. Like, there's a lot of guys you have. So there's no real reason to just be like, well, get rid of this pick right goddamn now. But, you know, it definitely should be a consideration.
Yeah, I think it just comes back to what the return is going to be. Like, if you're going to get, because I think that's the other thing, too, is that it's going to vary from GM to GM what they rate higher. Having the 11th overall pick this year or having Yuri Kulik, for example, like in the grand scheme of things, what would a GM rather have? you know, a guy who's a couple years farther along and maybe closer to being in the NHL, or being able to have your scouts, you know, if you have somebody that you know will be there at 11 that you think maybe fits a need more or is better than Kulik, even for that matter, or they their trajectory is better, project better, whatever. It just depends. And so I'm with you. I don't think that you can have this definitive opinion on it yet, because I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think that you also can probably even consider the fact that, who knows, like maybe opportunities are going to present themselves where there's two separate deals, one of which a main piece going out the door is 11th overall, and then another one is one of the prospects. Like, I think it really all depends on what Adam's approach is going to be, because they absolutely need a big move. But I guess I wonder if the bigger question is, do they need two big moves?
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think you can, the forward group, absolutely. I think that you just need to get a versatile two-way forward in the mix in the forward group right now. Obviously, center is the position that makes the most sense right now for doing that, like a third-line center. But yeah, I think that you kind of need that. And if you're going to do that and you really want to take this step and end this drought, then you got to splurge a little bit. But then that also begs the question of how they're looking at the defense right now. Like, do they think that Lindy is just going to be able to harness, you know, Byram and utilize him to his maximum potential and get the most out of Matias Samuelsson after a disappointing season last year? Or is it you want to have a really good third pair of, like, Samuelsson and Ryan Johnson, and you go out and you add a bigger name top 4D, a right shot defenseman? I mean, I don't, even though maybe we're talking about a decent price, I don't think that that's a bad idea out of hand. I don't know. What do you think of that? Or do you think that they're set on that front and maybe could just afford to look at like the big deal at center?
I think they think they're set on defense. I don't know if they are, but maybe there's an opportunity for that trade to happen. I guess Ryan Johnson would be a piece in a potential trade that would add, let's say, an Owen Power partner, which would necessarily switch things up. And that would be some indication that Matias Samuelsson is looked at as a third pair guy. Not the worst thing in the world. Might be a welcome development where you have, like, I don't know, a Dahlin, Byram, Power, X guy, Samuelsson, Joki Haru type deal, or anyone else for Joki Haru. That could be different too. That would be not the worst thing in the world, in my opinion. I think they could definitely use more diversity of skill set on their defense. I forgot to add Connor Clifton in there. I guess he would be the sixth defenseman in that situation, unfortunately.
Seventh defenseman.
Yeah, maybe.
Can I ask you a question, though, just really quickly off of the one point you just made there? Do you think that an acquisition, not even looking at it from, I guess, what the organization is maybe hinted at, but do you think that if they were to make a move for a top four defenseman, it would be for a partner for Power or for Dahlin? Because, not to bring it up again, but I still feel like Byram and Power is a really logical pair.
Well, I guess maybe it could be for Dahlin then. See, that's interesting then. That you don't, I don't know if you need a like star type guy to play with Dahlin.
Agreed. But just maybe the right skill set.
Yeah, maybe that's a different trade. On the other hand, maybe Kevin Adams is thinking one last thing to do. All I have to do is do a Dahlin, Samuelsson, Power, Byram, Clifton, Joki Haru first night out there. I mean, maybe
it's gotta be Johnson, right? Yeah.
Probably Johnson over Joki Haru, yeah. Maybe I'll just do that. And that'll be great. And then no one will bug me about anything.
Well, I was hoping, or I shouldn't say it was. I should say I hope that Kevin Adams is not looking at it as one less thing to do. But given his track record, I think you may not be too far off there. But anyways, though, so I guess back to it. I mean, with that being said, I don't think anybody would disagree that it's much more. I think this kind of speaks to the issue from both sides, which is, and let me know if you agree, that it's far more important that they get that guy in the forward group, make that acquisition of a big name guy that would come with a hefty price tag in terms of what you're trading out. It's more important to acquire that piece than it is for you to pick 11th overall.
Yeah.
Right. You can't say the same if it's like you're picking in like the top three or something like that. But I just think with like where the pick is, I understand why people are like, yeah, this isn't something that, you know, we don't want to wait around for 2, maybe even 3 years for a guy to pan out when it could be used as currency to go get somebody that is actually going to contribute now. But then again, that begs the question of like, what does that net? And if it's a part of something bigger, then you do run into the issue of, okay, well, if it's like 11th overall and one or two of the, you know, bigger prospects, you know, then you're really losing you're taking a pretty significant hit to the cupboard there. But at the same time, the core of the roster is so young that you can afford to not have somebody immediately waiting in the wings, I guess, in terms of prospect development.
That's true, definitely, yeah. Honestly, no matter what, if they trade like two prospects for, let's say, a center, two forward prospects, they're still going to have a lot of forward prospects.
True.
Like, what if they traded, I'm not even going to say who the center would be in the situation, but a really good center that they trusted as a 2C, we all got excited about with term, and it was for Osland and this pick, and maybe some other things. You would still have Savoy, Kulik, Rosen all ready to go going into this year. So yep. There's still a lot you can do there. It's, hey, the table is set for Kevin Adams. So he set a lot of it himself. So it's time, you know, extend this metaphor. It's time to, eat dinner or make dinner, bring dinner out.
Are we creating something a metaphor right now? Man. A new expression? Is this a new expression we're creating right now on this episode?
Yeah, the table's set, buddy. It's time to eat dinner.
Oh, that's pretty. That goes pretty hard. Wow. All right. Yeah. Look at you.
I invented that, definitely. If anyone else ever said that, you better have proof of it.
You got to pay Taylor $50 every time you use it from here on out.
That's right.
Venmo in the show description.
Absolutely. And if you don't pay, I'll be sending out my enforcer. Name's Jonah, so we don't want to mess with him.
Should we switch gears, Taylor, and talk a little Amerks right now? Because there's quite a lot going on down the 90 in Rochester.
That's true. Most of it's hockey.
Most of it is. There is some other stuff. Some development, lots of cranes you can see from time to time there. But we're talking
about... Some of it is like a bunch of ingredients together on a plate.
Yep.
But it's, you know, it's different. Sometimes it's macaroni salad. Sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. Potatoes are usually heavily involved.
Yeah, some ground beef, mustard.
Whole mess of condiments. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you got to go to town with the seasonings. Otherwise, no good.
Mm-mm. Are you absolutely.
I mean, I like them. Sure. I don't have them a lot because not a lot of places around here have them.
Fair. I'll give Rochester this. I think their dinosaur barbecue is better than the Buffalo one.
Oh, I've never been to the Rochester Dinosaur Barbecue.
It's pretty good.
I was at Dinosaur Barbecue somewhere not in Buffalo, though, at some point. Where could that have been? I don't know. I like Dinosaur Barbecue, though.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, even the one here, definitely, you know, not throwing shots or anything like that, but that Rochester one was very, very good. Anyways, though, we are talking about the Amerks, and as we get off of food, the Amerks are heading into Game 5 against Syracuse right now. After an incredible, incredible comeback this past weekend, scoring 3 goals before Brett Murray ended up scoring the overtime winner. 3 goals in the third period, I should say. They were down 3-0 heading into the third against Syracuse. 3 straight in the third period. And again, Brett Murray brings it home. Unbelievable victory. And now Game 5 is coming up this Friday. Devin Levi, as I'm sure many of you have heard, has been unbelievable in this series. In the win in Game 4, he ended up stopping 41 of 44 shots, and throughout the entirety of the playoffs so far, for this first round, he has made 166 saves. through the four games, including Taylor in the two games in Syracuse. He made 101 saves between the two games.
Wow.
Unbelievable stuff.
How many goals has he given up?
That's a great question. Let me tell you right now. Anyways, though, while I look that up, Taylor, really, really impressive stuff here from Devin Levi, and obviously very, very exciting as the Amerks are again looking at making a move here, moving on to the second round, hopefully. Levi, let's see here. I am seeing 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 8, and 3 is 11. 11 goals. So
that is
shabby.
Yeah, that's a pretty insane save percentage, especially considering how fatigued he must be.
Yeah, he's holding it down, man. Devin Levi has been excellent thus far in the playoffs for the Amerks. So really exciting stuff here, Taylor. I mean, obviously this is really great to see from Levi at this stage where, of course, we all know how his season went. I mean, he really never was able to he didn't stick in Buffalo. There was obviously a variety of reasons for that, mainly just UPL and his emergence. And, you know, you obviously want to get a young goalie like Devin Levi regular games to aid in his development. And even when he was in Buffalo, he wasn't necessarily playing a ton, but he was still putting up very respectable numbers. So this is really exciting stuff because you look around the league, and I mean, I feel like we just look at Boston as the shining example of how valuable a top-tier goalie tandem can be. And if Levi is able to project into what we think he's going to, and UPL is able to keep playing at the pace that he currently is, the Sabres could be staring down a very, very similar situation to Boston, having a 1A, 1B situation, which is, again, could be comparable to like a Linus Allmark and Jeremy Swayman situation. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, previewing this game a little bit, what it means for the Amerks, what it means for Devin Levi, and we can get into talking about some of the younger guys as well in the process.
Yeah, it always. I mean, so the Amerks obviously made the semifinals last year, and that's huge in my opinion, because they have so many guys that aren't just like guys who are in the AHL. They're not just quad A guys either. They're like a lot of hopefully potentially important people for the future on the Amerks right now. I mean, more than I think we've ever had, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe more, the most we've had in 20 years. So obviously that was a great run the Amerks had in 04-05 when the NHL was shut down. And wow, turn around, look at all those guys the next year, making the conference finals in the NHL. Not that that's going to happen next year for the Sabres, but I think it's super important for all those guys. So it's Levi, Kulik, Rosen, whoever else. Hopefully other guys make the team that we haven't even thought of yet. So yeah, it's super important, in my opinion, that they keep going on this run. So, and, you know, it's just cool. Rochester as a place, you know, the Amerks kind of went a long time without a fun run before last season. And Rochester doesn't have professional sports. They have the Amerks and the Rochester Red Wings. I can't say I'm familiar with the Rochester Red Wings, what they've been up to in the playoffs in recent
Nighthawks.
Years.
Nighthawks. Two.
Are the Nighthawks still around?
Aren't they?
I guess they must still be. But, yeah, either. Well, I know they haven't been winning because I know who has been winning in the NLL.
Mm, damn right.
It's our good friends over here, the Buffalo Bandits.
Damn
but
right.
But, yeah, so that – I don't know. So it's nice for the nice folks of Rochester.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited. I'm actually going to the game on Friday, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I think one of the, if not the biggest storyline, obviously, you know, we're talking about how incredible Levi has been, and I just confirmed on that too. He has a 938 save percentage, Taylor, in this first round. Unbelievable stuff. But we're talking about this and these incredible performance that Levi has had. And it's honestly been out of necessity because the Amerks have not been generating offense like they are capable of, especially when you consider the firepower that they have up front. And there's been some disappointing starts here, Taylor. I mean, Yuri Kulik only has 1 point and an assist. He has an assist through four games. Ryan Johnson only has a point. Noah Ostlund, of course, making the move over here to North America and getting his first taste of professional action in North America. Only one assist through three games played. Isaac Rosean, he has two goals in the series. But again, you're wanting more out of that, a guy who's been a key player for you throughout the year. Lucas Rusek's leading the way with 5 points in the series. But really want to see more out of this forward group here to start generating some offense, and especially Yuri Kulik for not scoring at all in this series and only having one assist. Pretty imperative that he shows up on Friday. I think that this is going to be a pretty pivotal game for these guys and to really prove themselves in a do or die kind of setup like this. I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge thing too. When guys are, you know, going through the development, whether it's in juniors or the AHL level or whatever overseas, it's not just about like playing better players and getting better, getting stronger, faster, growing, whatever, learning from new coaches, playing more games, all that. There's things you have to learn how to do in the NHL. And I think part of that is like winning big games. Some guys never learn, not thinking of any nearby franchises, but getting into the playoffs, winning series that are tough, that are tied 2-2, it's important. It's important for your development.
Totally. Can I ask you a question? This is probably going to be one that we can save for next week. I don't know if you even – actually, no, you might even be able to answer it right now. There has been some ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous trade proposals been thrown around with when it comes to Mitch Marner and – at least on the part of Toronto fans, very much overvaluing a guy who only has 1 year left before he becomes an unrestricted free agent. I'm curious though, Taylor, I can't remember who it was. Somebody had, I think it might've been like the, instigator, Andrew Peters, Craig Revey podcast. They, I think, had brought up the possibility of doing Owen Power for him, which is obviously just ridiculous and preposterous and would be
I think that was Locked On Sabres.
Was it? Okay. I have a hard time agreeing with that one. No disrespect, but like, no. But I'm curious.
Is my little would you be interested? Like to say no, because no.
Well, what would you, but this is really what I'm leading towards though, is what would you give up to get Mitch Marner, if anything at all?
Can't get him. He's a no move. He's not coming to Buffalo.
But in theory.
That's in theory for 1 year of Mitch Marner?
And, I mean, with the thought of if you were to get him to potentially retain.
Well, this is a huge problem with this, beyond the no move clause. He's not signing here.
He's a big Bills fan.
He's going to be retired for many years after, I don't know, let's say he has – a decade left in the NHL.
I don't think this is a practical thing, by the way. I'm just curious for what you would rate him for.
Mitch Marner is worth a lot.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Mm-hmm. If you could say right now, all 30 teams are open, he says, I'm fully waiving my no move. I don't give a shit where I go. And whoever wants to trade for me, I'm signing at 8 years, $88 million. Plus, or, yeah, because he could get the full eight if he goes there. Yeah. Okay. Next offseason. Next offseason, they'll agree to 8 years, $88 million. And he everyone believes him. He'd be worth a lot of at that point. He'd be worth a little less than you would think based on his regular season performance. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, this is a lot of shitting about the playoffs that's been going on. However, we're talking about a guy that averages over the last 3 years about 100 points per 82 games and also was third in Selke voting last year. He's not the best player on his line, which is a big thing. He's gotten a lot of points on the power play, but he can help your power play because he's a great passer and he can help your power play between October and April, I should say. Mm-hmm. Around April 10th, forget about it. But he's one of the best. He's in the range of, I don't know, the 11th to 20th best forwards in the NHL.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, and he's 27, I want to say. So, like, he'd be worth a ton in a trade. He'd be the kind of guy that doesn't really get traded in those scenarios. He'd be worth, for the Sabres perspective in that case, not that this would be a total fit, he'd be worth, like, this 11th pick, shit, he might be worth, Owen Power is such a hard guy to trade right now. It's not something I'd be looking into. But let's say he'd be worth the 11th pick. God, this is so weird because the Leafs are clearly looking to improve on defense.
Yeah.
I'm not trading down.
Can I offer you a lightly used Henry Yoki Haru?
Yeah, well, I was going to say a trade where it's like a lot for one guy. So like a 4-for-1.
Yeah.
11th overall pick, Jiri Kulik, Ryan Johnson, and say next year's first as well. That might not be enough, though, because it wouldn't be a very good first next year. Maybe you say Kulik and Savoy, and they get to see which one's good. Mm. However, and I got to clarify for everyone here right now, the reason Mitch Marner's not going to go for a lot in a trade is because he's a free agent and he's a full no move.
Yep.
He gets to either say, no, whatever, Toronto, I'm walking a free agency next year, you're not moving me, and there's nothing the Leafs can do. Or he can say, I want to go here and point in the map where he wants to go. I don't know where that would be. I have no inclination of where that would be. But that, I mean, and then he, if he's smart, he'll test real free agency next year.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he really should. That's what's really going to drive his cost up. He could be a guy, because of the situation he puts himself in, he could be a guy that gets paid as much as Matthews is getting paid.
It's very possible. Very possible.
Yeah, with the cap. I mean, think about it this way, too. Next season, the cap's $87 million. We don't know what it's going to be like the season after that. But the TV deals are supposed to be good, and it's going up or whatever. So it could be like $90 million by then. $90 million, he's in the free agent. A bunch of teams are bidding against each other for – at that point, he'll be 29.
Yeah.
Or he'll be 28. He'd be 28. But I think, especially like on a 6-7 year deal,
yeah,
he'd be making a lot of money. So he should be looking to do that. I don't know if he is. But the point is, what I'm really saying is, if he does get traded this offseason and he's looking to line up a deal somewhere, that team's not going to have to give up a lot still.
Mm-hmm.
That team's going to be like, oh, really? You don't want our first and our fourth best prospect? Guess we'll just get him for free next year because he picked us.
Yep.
So
great point.
That's what's going to happen. So Toronto fans, get real about that. Everyone else's fans, not everyone else's, but most other teams, understand that this is not a normal trade situation. You're not getting him. And yeah, anyone who thinks about this in terms of just guy for guy trades, it's not a good way to think about things generally.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that the Sabres specifically too, like, are in such a unique position that they can go out and get one or two significant pieces without having to trade somebody from their core, without having to trade an Owen Power or a Tage or an Alex Tuck. Like, you can go out and get one of those guys, somebody of that ilk, with the assets that you have that aren't in the NHL right now. So that's at least where I'm at, because again, you're going to run into a similar situation with what we're looking at right now with trading Casey Mittelstadt, and then you have a hole at center for your third line center, and trading Owen Power just means that you're opening up another hole in the defensive group, and you just don't need to do that right now. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, we have Power for 7 more years. It might end up being, you could, or 8 more years, or 7. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's 7.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's 8. Who knows? This is impossible for me or Brendan or anyone else in the world to look up. I guess we'll just have to go with our gut on this one. I think I'm going to say it's 8 more years.
And I will tell you, you, sir, are incorrect. 7.
Ah, poop. He's a free agent in 2031.
Wait, that's – yeah, he is. Yeah, 2031, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, because it was a 7-year deal. He didn't sign for 8 years. That's right.
Very interesting.
Yep. So this was his last year of his ELC, and then it kicks in next year.
Well, let me tell you something else about that lockdown Sabres post. And I'm already sick of this with a lot of potential trade talk. I don't know what Ottawa wants to do, but Brady Tkachuk is probably not on the table. And if he were, he's not worth your whole team.
True.
Get real, guys. I mean, it'd be nice to have Brady Tkachuk, but
I would love to get Brady Tkachuk, but I don't think that there's
any scenario where he's available. Why would you trade 25 Brady Tkachuk in the division?
There's no reason to. There's no reason. I really don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're at the point that they would blow it up with a move like that. There's so many other guys that they could move that would make way more sense.
Yeah. You know, people make fun of Ottawa for a lot of things over the years. Have they gotten enough guff for the Mika Zibanejad trade?
No, I don't think they have, actually. You could say that about a lot of trades with Ottawa, if we're being honest.
People usually get on him, though. You know?
Like, yeah.
What the hell did you trade Drinkit for if you weren't sure he'd sign there, and then you traded him in the division, mm-hmm. and then he was way better? But you hear about that. I mean, I guess because that just happened.
There's a lot of bad trades there.
People even remember that Zibanejad was a Senator. I mean, it's like an absurd thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's what, an 80-point guy he's been?
Yeah.
And he wasn't in Ottawa, but, like, still. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's bad, man.
Now, his last year in Ottawa, he had 51 points. He was 22 years old. Like, get this guy the hell out of here. And in New York, yeah, he said seasons of 81, 91, and 72 the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
What a disgrace. Do you remember who was traded for him?
No, actually. What was the deal?
Well, they traded him and a second-round pick for Derek Brassard.
Oh, sick. Wow.
That's tough.
Just Derek Brassard?
Yeah.
I'm glad they added that second rounder just to make it a little more fair.
This is insane. Yeah, Derek Brassard, okay, he had 58 points the year before, but he was 6 years older.
Yeah, that's absurd. That's wild.
And he didn't have term. Oh, my God. Ottawa. Good Lord.
Thanks, Derek Brassard, Ottawa.
He went back to Ottawa eventually, Derek Brassard did.
Mm-hmm.
From that Ottawa to Ottawa, traded to Pittsburgh. Traded to Florida, traded to Colorado, signed with the Islanders, signed with Arizona, signed with Philadelphia, traded to Edmonton, signed with Ottawa.
He's been
managing, just going strong in one place.
He has been everywhere. Wow. All right, well, Taylor, any other thoughts you'd like to share before we sign off for the day?
Go Bandits?
Go Bandits. Damn.
Brandon, now what happened to your promise to do this whole podcast in Jar Jar Binks' voice?
Misa forgot.
You gotta do that crazy thing with your tongue and lips.
Oh, we had a great time seeing The Phantom Menace, folks. Highly recommend in the theater. It was a beaut. Very, very good times. All right. Well, everybody, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Straight Up Sabres. Make sure you're checking out Straight Up Sabres on whatever your preferred streaming platform is, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Apple Music, whatever you're using to listen to this episode right now. Make sure you're either following or subscribed to us and leave us a nice rating or review. Not to mention, you can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Straight Up Sabres. Again, everybody, we will be back with a brand new episode next week, so keep an eye out. We'll have some news for you guys in the meantime as well. So keep an eye out, but thank you all so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. This has been Straight Up Sabres. Chase.